the house of the Lord, and thank God we love the Word of God and we appreciate His presence in our midst today. We ask God to give us wisdom and understanding upon His words as we get into it. We ask His blessings upon, and may the Word of God reach the hearts of many people, because there's a need for the Word and understanding the truth of the Word of God today. There's a strong desires in the hearts of many to know more, crying out, "Oh, that I might know Him." Yeah. See, not just more traditions and more of what man has to say, words of man, but to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's what we need today. And we are close to the return of Jesus Christ. We were in the book of Ecclesiastes a couple of weeks ago, or we still continuing in it. And the Bible is a tremendous book. You have to slow down. First, you come to when you accept Jesus as your Savior, but after that, the work begins. You have to have knowledge and wisdom and understanding, so we will be shapen or molded into the image of Christ to be like Him. Now that takes a tremendous work of the apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers that's given to the church for the perfection of the saints. For the saints need to be developed in Christ. It's not just only saying the sinner's prayer and then that's it. You're ready for your mansion to go to heaven. We have to grow into the knowledge and the wisdom, the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, and to know the love of God, which passes knowledge. That's a tremendous work that we have to do, and only God can do it. It's God that worketh in us. Amen. It is the Lord that worketh in you. Amen. Both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we heard that scripture also this morning, that we are His workmanship. Oh, what a scripture that we love in Ephesians 2 verse 10 says we are His workmanship. Created. There's a creation. That's a brand new creation. Not created in the first Adam, but this one is a creation. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now you're created not to fail, but you're created unto good works. That is to fulfill the purpose why God had created you, to walk in the ways of righteousness. Not self-righteousness, but the true righteousness, because there is a righteousness which is of self. We will in the future get into all of those. Righteousness which is of self. There's a righteousness of the senses. You know, a man has senses, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling, that operates in your soul, the soulish realm. But there is a spirit realm that we're talking, where God dwells in our spirit. The spirit of man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord. The five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, you remember they all had lamps. They all had lamps. But only the wise had oil, an extra oil. See, you can have lamps, but you don't have the oil. See, the oil of knowledge. See, that in your spirit, you remember now, the spirit, what is the lamp? What is the lamp? See, the spirit of man is the candle, the lamp of the Lord. And you've got to get that spirit, the Holy Spirit, into your spirit. His spirit bear it witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. See, so the spirit has to take control of the senses, the soul, and the soul take a hold of the body. But if the senses are reasoning, that's why a lot of people cannot understand God. They try to reason him out with their senses. I can't see that. I don't see that. And they reason. But when you get over in the spirit realm, then it's faith. We walk by faith. Two different things, and not by sight. The senses, the soul has to see. But the spirit realm is different. And that's what God is working on to bring us into the spirit. Where we are led, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So God's Spirit must get into your spirit and lead you. But as long as you're in the sense realm, you're in the earthly realm. Because Adam was made a living soul. See, he was sense, and he could name the things in the garden, and so he had a relationship, but when he looked to his senses, he fell. When you look to your knowledge, your education, how much you know, and you begin to try to reason out God as a mathematical problems, and you try to solve it and figure out who God really is, that's not the way it works. God is in a different realm. Spirit. God is spirit. God is the spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit. Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, as Solomon was, find me that scripture where Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was a wise man. He was one of the wisest men that ever lived. Until Jesus Christ showed up. Solomon was very, very wise, but in the first chapter of, and I just want to, I'm not going to go into the first chapter, I'm just going to pick things out. But in Matthew 12, let's get there first. Matthew 12, verse 42. Matthew 12 and verse 42 says, The queen of the south shall rise in the judgment and with this generation and shall condemn it and shall condemn this generation. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, notice, Jesus was standing in their midst. And here's what he said. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Who was this that he was referring to? So he was referring to himself. So here was Solomon. But then a greater Solomon, which is Jesus Christ, is here. And Solomon had his knowledge was great. But he had knowledge. Most of his knowledge was under the sun. He was very, very wise. One of the wisest men that ever lived. And now in Ecclesiastes, if you can understand that Solomon was, in many parts of this book, was writing about the man that is under the sun. Okay, you got to come from the sun down. Not above the sun, but the man that was under the sun. And he was a very, very wise preacher. Now, and he was speaking a lot of the natural things that was around about him. And giving us the history of the generation, one generation passed it on away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abided forever. His conversation was around about the earth. Now, he spoke, where is that part? Is to the man that was under the sun. He was speaking to the man under the sun in the same chapter. But let me go down to verse 9. Said, the things that had been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done, verse 9, is that which shall be done. Okay? And there, notice, this is a part. There is, let's read that. There is no new thing under the sun. See, so it's dealing with under the sun. And said, is there anything, I think this is a question, isn't it? Is he asking? Yes. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. Can you point out and say, see, this is new. It had been already of old times, which was before us. So Solomon is showing us the things that was, goes around like in a circle, and it has been before. And there is no new things. There's no new things under the sun. On the land. There is, and there is no new things under the sun. And you take that and say, yes, that's it. But you missed it if you don't realize that he's talking about under the sun. There is no new thing under the sun. Now in Matthew, what? Oh, okay, yes, in Matthew, we just had a greater than Solomon is here. Now, what we're focusing in what Solomon was discussing, that there is no new thing, on a line your Bible, and follow me now, this is important, there is no new thing under the sun. And he goes on, he said, is there anything whereof it may be said, in other words, point out, show me something where it may be said, see, this is new. It had been, notice then it goes on, he said, it had been already of old times, which was before us. Now, if we stop there, we would totally miss and we would level off. But we've got to find out and answer the question when he says, show me, is it verse 10, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new. It had been already of old, which was before. So he's asking in that part, is there anything new? So that we need to find out, is there anything new that is under the sun? And let me see if I, there's so many places I can start, but in John, St. John, the 13th chapter, St. John, and get me the scriptures up there on the board. St. John, the 13th chapter. And let me go to verse 34. John 13 and verse 34. What does it say in 14? Notice, Solomon is saying, is there anything new under the sun? Now, we are living under the sun, aren't we?
Yes.
Are we living under the sun?
Yes.
Now, here's what Jesus said, a greater than Solomon says, is here. He said, a new reading, a new commandment Now, remember when Solomon was alive, he was going by the they had this ceremonial law, and the washing and sacrifices, bullocks. Remember, Solomon himself offered how many in the dedication of the temple, hundreds or in the thousands of bullocks and oxen. Remember, Solomon so much bullocks they offered and sacrifices, and the lambs and rams that he offered, and the fire of God came down. And Solomon saw that. And God spoke to him, gave him wisdom and knowledge. But here now, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love. Notice, what is new? In a world that's filled with hatred, in a world that's filled with murder and chaos and darkness, the people that sat in darkness, they saw a great light. What the rage, the heathen raging. What happened when the Son of God was sent to the earth? See, you've got to understand, and he gave a new commandment, I give unto you, that you love one another. Is that new? Is that new? A new commandment I gave you? Solomon never had that. His kingdom was plagued with all kind of adversity. But here is a greater Solomon. When he comes and establishes his kingdom, when he comes to the earth and he returns, he will establish a kingdom in righteousness and in peace. As Solomon's kingdom came to an end, it was overturned because of idolatry and sin. But here is another kingdom that will never be removed.
Amen.
But his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that lasts forever.
Amen.
So a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Not just love one another, but as I have loved you. How great did he love us? Greater love than this, at no man, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That you also love one another, as one another as I have loved you. By this new commandment, by this commandment that is not did not originate under the sun, but this commandment that originated from everlasting, when he said to Jeremiah, "Behold," Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says. Behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. See, this was not originated under the sun, but from everlasting. From everlasting. God loves us. He loves us with a love that cannot die. From everlasting, God loves you. A love that Solomon never had. But the greater Solomon came, and he brought it. And he brought a life and light and immortality to light through the gospel. Solomon never had that. But many of in the reign of Solomon was death and destruction and idolatry. But Christ came to bring glory and honor to the Father, and to establish a righteous government. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If, see that word? If you have it. If you have love one to another. See, that is an awesome work. See that love, because it is the love that we're speaking about. That is the love, that is the nature of God. See, then God is love. His nature is love. And that nature has to be implanted in our spirit. See, that new commandment that God gave us has to be in our spirit. See, it God has to put himself in our spirit. That who God is. God is love. Love is of God. That is the eternal nature of God. See, when you've got love in your spirit, hallelujah. When you've got love, the love of God in your spirit, nobody will have to beg you to serve him. Because you serve God with love. Not just emotions.
Amen.
See, not only with your senses, but you do it with your spirit. You draw nigh to God with your spirit.
Amen.
And that love that came from the Father. Oh, how I love you.
Amen.
He loves you with a love that cannot die. God loves you with a love that many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. So here it tells us, by this shall all men know, next verse, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. There's another verse. See, Jesus gave them, we're in John 13. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Hold on. Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. Back up to that verse. You can't follow me right now. Whither I goest, thou canst not follow me now. Jesus, but thou shalt follow me
afterwards.
And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. But notice here. See, following Jesus is not just works. Okay? You're doing something. You're doing something. That's not it. See, it's the spirit of love.
Amen.
It's that love of God that the Holy Ghost came to do. See, the Holy Ghost was sent to shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And later on, he told Peter before he went away, got back, and the same thing says, Simon, Peter, do you love me? See, more than these. And, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Well, feed my sheep. And then he goes on, feed my lamb. See, feed them with what? Feed them with that love. Do you love me? See, you have to feed God's people with the love of God. Not with the sword and not with weapons of war. But you feed them with righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, back to Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, when he said, is there anything that's new? Hold on, because this is a great message. It's going to take a long time. This anything new under the sun? Because that first old image was destroyed in the fall. They see that nature of man was fallen. That's why people have a hard time serving God until they surrendered. The more you surrender to God is the easier it is to serve God, to come to church. You lose all that running streak. And now you settle down like Mary that chose the better thing. What do you think? She found the love of God. She found the love of God that passes knowledge. And therefore, she settles down to the love of God. Now in Jeremiah, there's many scriptures there. In Jeremiah, ninth chapter? Look there first in the ninth chapter of Jeremiah. That verse that we used here before. In the ninth chapter of verse 24 says, but let him that glory in this, that he understand and know it me. You see, you're not glorying in your riches.
Right.
You're not glorying in all of these things here. You can read it vanity of vanities. You got to read it for yourself. And the things that we glory in, that we can see. As Solomon says, he tried it all. Solomon said he had it all. And then he asked, is there any new thing under the sun? See, Solomon had an experience where he tried it all. Then he says, vanity of vanities. And he began to tell you what's important is that a man serve God with his whole heart. And so Jeremiah picks up and says, verse 24, but let him that glory, notice, you feel like glorying? But let him that glory, glory in this, what? That he, focus now, that he understand who? God. He had an understanding. Solomon had an understanding, but most of his understanding was in natural things. But now, what is your understanding, focus, and based in? Let him that glory in this fact, that he understand and know knowledge, understanding and knowledge, and know me, that I am the Lord. Do you know that? That I am the Lord. And he said, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. See that love? Do you see that in the earth? Loving kindness. Is there any new thing under the sun? Let him understand that I am the Lord that exercise it. Loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Where? In the earth. So Jesus Christ came as our righteousness. And he brought the judgment, the righteous judgment of God in the earth. And for he said, for in these things, somebody ought to shout. For in these things, what? Somebody ought to shout and say, God, I want to serve you. For in these things, I delight, said the Lord. Not Solomon, but the greater Solomon. In these things I delight, saith the Lord. Okay. And now the same Jeremiah 24 says that, is it verse 7? Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7 says, I will give them. Notice what he'll do, what's going to do now. What? Where is he going to give us? Under the sun. This new heart. I'll give them a, said, I will give them, Jeremiah 24, we ought to be there. Verse 7 says, and I will give them a heart to know me. Verse 7. And I will give them, who's going to do it? A heart. See, because we had a whole heart, and the heart that we had in the fall, love vanity. It's deceitful. Who can know it? It was the nature of man, of the flesh, and it wants the read all of the first chapter there. Go read the rest of the book and see that the fallen man honored his son what he wanted. But here now, the Lord says that I will give them an heart to know me. That I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return, hallelujah. Return from what? That's a new thing. They shall return from the fall. They shall return from bondage. They shall return from the power of the devil. Come on. They shall return from their backsliding, from their rebellion. They shall return from their forwardness. They shall return and come back to me. See, do you understand that there is a returning? That's new. That's a new thing. God said, I'll send my son. And he came to set the captives free. He said, when he came, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. A poor fallen man that that had nothing to offer God. We were poor. We were poor in our trespasses and sin. But the rich man came from heaven. He laid down his glory. Come on. One that was greater and richer than Solomon. Not with silver and gold. But he came righteousness. And he brought righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He came that the starving world would be fed with the bread of life. He came and he sacrificed himself and promised us to give them one heart to know me, that I am the Lord and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with what? Not a divided heart, not a part, but a whole heart, a new heart, a clean heart, a heart that is one with God, a heart of God. They shall return unto me. And is that all our next verse? It says, then the next, in Ezekiel, the 11th chapter now, go quickly to Ezekiel 11th chapter, and verse 19 says, and I will give them one heart, and I will put, notice what he's going to do. What's new under the sun? And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take, notice, and I will what? Take the stony heart. Here's what he has to do. I will take the stony heart, where? Out of your flesh. And will give them a heart of flesh. That they, why is he going to do that? Somebody shout. What's new? What's new? That stony old heart. Is there any new thing under the sun? Can somebody tell me? Huh? Is God doing a new work? Has God done a new work under the sun? What is he doing under the sun? Said, I'll take their stony heart away from them and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk, so hallelujah, in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Amen. Amen. Continue. Is there anything else? But as for those, notice, they don't want to come on. They still have the same old way. They want to walk in the same condition as the man under the sun. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things. Chapter 1, vanity of vanity of Ecclesiastes. Find it, okay? Walk after that. But God said, I'll do a new thing. And he said, but as for them whose heart walketh still walking after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their ways upon their own heads, said the Lord. So if you're lost, it's because of your fault. Amen? So is there any more? That's it, right? So we go on, begin to move on now in with so many scriptures, but I want to go to Jeremiah, still back to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. Help me. The 31st chapter of Jeremiah. And I think it's down to verse 24 in Jeremiah, where God will give them a new heart in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, verse is it 13:24, where God says, I will give them a new heart and a new spirit will I place within them. What verse? I think it's down to verse 33. 32. Start at verse 32. Read verse 32. Yes, quickly. Not according. Notice verse. According to the covenant that I make with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand. What verse is it? 32. 31, 32 now. Verse 32 says,
not according to
the covenant, verse 32, that I make with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand, that to bring them out of the, that's when he brought them out. He took them by the hand, but he made a covenant. That was called the old covenant. Then later on we get into the new covenant. But what he did, is there anything new under the sun? See, there he had an old covenant. But now he promised that he would make a new covenant under the sun. So, said, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. They couldn't keep it, although, look, I was married to them. I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. Look at God. He was an husband. Here he's a father. He's our father. Our father. See? The new covenant. Not only a husband, but a father. Our father. When you pray, say, our father. You have the same father as Jesus. We have the same father. Don't you love your father? Don't you feel like standing in your generation for your father? Don't you feel like standing up and praising your father? See, he says that which covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. No, notice, after those days, he's going to do something new. They could not keep the first covenant. But after those days, he said, I will do, he's going to do a new thing. What is he going to do? I want you to slow down here. I will put my law in the inward parts and write it. Notice, this is powerful. I got to spend a few minutes here. He said, and I'll write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. Let's go back again. He brought them out of Egypt, gave them a covenant. They couldn't keep it. They broke it. The commandments. Okay? The law. He gave them a ceremonial law. They couldn't keep that. Okay? He gave them moral law. We know that. They broke that. And they couldn't keep it. So the Lord said, after those days, okay, when the law, remember the law was from Moses until John. Then after that, what happened? See, Jesus came and brought grace and truth. So the law was from Moses until to John. Then Jesus Christ came, the greater than Solomon. And then he establishes a new law. It's called the law of liberty. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That what's new? That made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do. They couldn't keep it. But he said, no, I'm going to do a new thing. After those days, I'm going to bring in a gospel law. A good news law. It's a law that that's not binding where do this or do that. But it's a law where you surrender. Where you give up. It's a law where you keep it through humility. It's a law where Jesus Christ keeps that law for you. Why? Because you're dead. It's a law where you die. Where the old man is crucified, nailed to the cross, buried, and a new man. Is there anything new under the sun? After those days, I will raise up a new man. And I will work through the spirit of the man. Come on, I will cut away. I will send my word and cut away the spirit from the soul. And the body, the joints, and I will put a new heart in them. And I will put a new nature. I will implant the very nature of God. I will do a new thing. What is he doing? He cuts your way from the fall. He cuts your way from the whole harem. And he write the law of God. That's the law of liberty. If the Son of God has set you free, you are free. Indeed, he frees us from the law. Amen. He sets us free from the penalty of the law, where he raised up a brand new man. Come on. A new creation. Not after a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. That's what you are. This new thing that God is doing under the sun right now. Hallelujah. He says, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. Notice here now, the inward parts. You have your inward parts. Psalms 51 caused me to know truth in the inward parts. You have your soul, and the deepest part is your spirit. And when you begin to get that spirit filled up, that lamp begin to fill up with the oil of knowledge, you're going to become wise. And he writes his law. Come on, that's what he's doing. He's writing his law, the gospel, the truth, that new covenant law that he promised, where we walk by faith and not by sight, where it's not by work of righteousness which we have done, but it's according, somebody shout, it's according to his mercy. He saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. What a God we serve. He says that I will put my law, in their inward parts. How is he going to do it? With the finger of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Just like how he wrote with his finger on the commandments of stone. But now he's not writing on stones. But he removed the stones and he write upon hearts of flesh. And he puts it in our hearts. And we will return to God. And we will not sin against God anymore. He said, but I'm making mistake. He just let it, just submit yourself and let him keep writing. All of that rebellion is going to be blotted out. It's going to be overwritten by a law of freedom and deliverance. A law of liberty where he came to set the captives free. He says that I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. Thank God. I want it. When you read that word. When you read the word of God, he's writing. The Holy Ghost is there. He's writing. My God, you ought to submit, fall before the Lord. I said, write it, Lord. Write in my heart. Write the word of God of truth and deliverance and victory in my heart. Write the word of God in my heart. Where? Because your heart is your conscience. Do you get that? He writes that your spirit, your conscience, and he writes it in your conscience, and you will never forget God. Amen. And there'll always be a guide there to guide you. I will be their God, and they shall, next verse, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord? No, because you'll have a personal experience for God. They won't have to ask you, do you know the Lord? No, because he walks with you and he talks with you because you pray to him this morning. You lift your hands up. Come on. You've been feasting. Do you know the Lord? Come on. That's for when the outsiders, but we before the Lord, we know him. We know him. Why? Because we feel the love of God shed abroad in our hearts and we love our brothers. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother saying no. The Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember. Oh, I will remember their sin no more. Let me tell you here. Listen to this. Don't keep going around and asking God if he forgave you once you repent. Don't keep going around and reminding God of the sins you did last summer or whatever. Okay, even this morning. Did you repent? Did you pray? It's gone. See, God casts all your sins, our sins, behind him. And he removes it as far as the east is from the west. And he said, I remember them no more. And you're trying to remind God, do you remember my sins, what I did? I even do that. But no, that's not. He said, I will not remember it. Listen, if he doesn't remember it, don't you go ahead and remind him. You ought to say amen. If he says, God is not a liar or a man, he says, I will forgive their iniquities. You name whatever you did, whatever iniquity that you've done. And he said, I will forgive it. And he said, I will remember. No, when God doesn't remember, let me tell you something. God knows and can do everything, but here's something he cannot do. The sins that are repented and confessed and cast in the blood of Jesus Christ, even God cannot remember it. It's gone. I don't care what the devil say. The devil is a liar. You say, but somebody reminding me. Don't care what they say. If God doesn't remember, that's good enough. I said, that's good enough. If God doesn't remember, he said, I will not remember their sins anymore. Verse 35 says, thus said the Lord, who giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Amen. If those ordinances, listen, depart from before me, said the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Says, thus said the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath, I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, said the Lord. Okay? Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Ananiel unto the corner gates thereof. Okay. Now, I think it's chapter 32 in closing, or 33, where it picks it up also about the covenant in Jeremiah. You find that? There is right there in, a new covenant? If while you're finding that, let me go to Ezekiel, the 30 in closing, in the 36th chapter, okay, in Ezekiel 36, and we'll pick this up later on in Jeremiah, but in Ezekiel 36, start at verse 25, for time's sake, says that, verse 24. See, read verse 24, Jeremiah. Ezekiel 36, verse 24 says, I will take you, read it. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I, what is he going to do? Sprinkle clean water upon you. What's that? The clean water. See, the water of the word. See, a water that's not polluted. See, where the false prophet dipped their feet in. No. And muddy the water. See, and cause it to be muddied and not clear. But he said, I'm going to sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Now, here's where we come in and we're struggling. How am I going to do it? How am I going to be made in the image of God? How am I become a son of God? What do I have to do? I can't do it. He said, we are his workmanship. created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus unto good work. He is doing the work. It's God that worketh in you. And he said, I, God, will sprinkle clean water upon you. I showed this in Isaiah 54:13. He said, I will teach them. They shall all be taught of God. And here now he said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Amen. A new heart. Here's it. Here's a new heart created me. A clean heart. It's not repairing the whole one you have. That's gone. But a new heart will I, notice, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit, Holy Ghost spirit, where? In your spirit, within you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. I'll give it to you. I'll put. And John says, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I am. A greater than Solomon is here. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And with fire. With power. With revelation knowledge. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Ye and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. Hallelujah. And ye shall dwell in the church that I gave you. I mean, in the land. Did I say church? Settle down. Begin to grow up in God in all things. Do something. Get busy. Notice. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. To the apostles, prophets, who is your fathers. Pastors, evangelists, and teachers. Those are your fathers. The land. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he shall be my people. And I will be your God. And I said, I also will save you from all, this is what you, from all, not, don't look at the other person, from all your, you got enough to focus on, from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn. Look what's going to happen now. Look what's going to happen. I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase of the field, that ye may receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways. You know, look back and say, oh God, I'm sorry. Oh, when God begin to bless you as you repent and turn, you say, God, I'll never do that anymore. I'll never miss church. I'll serve you. Oh God, I won't let things come in and keep me out of church. I won't backslide. Oh God, forgive me for not doing what I should do. For letting other people do it. And I sit back and wait for them to do it. Yeah? Come on. Oh God, forgive me for not working in the church. For not building the wall. For not coming together. Oh, I repent, Lord. When you begin to see what God has done for you and you look back and see how much you failed God. The things that you've done, you begin to cry out, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, when I could help to clean the church and help to support the church and help to put something more in the church so they could reach out to mission. I didn't do it. I'd rather do something for myself. Vanity. I chose the way of vanity. But please, Lord, help me not to look to that which is under the sun, but to look to that which is above the sun, to look to the second man, the second Adam, to look for the Lord of glory. Who is the spirit man? Help me, Lord, because a greater than Solomon is here. Is there any new thing under the sun? Yes. Yes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. Then shall he remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own eyes for your iniquities and for your abomination. Amen. And not for your sake do I this, saith the Lord God. But be it known unto you, be ashamed and be confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. I did that for my son. I did that because I sent my son into the world, and he died on the cross to bring many sons unto glory. I did that because when the kingdom of Solomon is done away with, why, I'll overturn, and it shall be no more until he come, whose right it is. That's Jesus Christ. And he's standing in the waiting wings, ready to sit on the throne of his father David. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Israel, Judah, and unto the ends of the earth. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.